Good day, and welcome to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, putting the P in professionally managed vacation rentals. This is the Vacation Rental Management Professionals Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge, Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals across the nation, or as we like to call it, Sea to Ski
with Sarah and T.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you'll join us on a journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it. We are back and better than ever. I'm Tim.
And I'm Sarah.
And Sarah, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. The last time we were with these folks, we were in the back of an Uber headed home for the holidays, and I'm sure you had a great one.
We did. We went skiing. What'd you do?
I had the annual turkey bowl in the backyard where we divide the family, and I'm happy to report no blown-out knees, no fisticuffs, and it was a tie game in the end. So no winners, no losers.
Sweet. I got to ask you, Tim, though, what did you do a couple days after Thanksgiving? Because everyone will be inspired by your owner party.
Well, it was the day after. We did have our owner party. Remember, we talked about that in one of our earlier episodes, and we had a bash. We had a band. They were great. We cooked oysters. We made 6 gallons of Brunswick stew. We had crab dip and shrimp and dozens of cookies, and everybody was stuffed once again the day after Thanksgiving, but no turkey involved. So great opportunity to get in front of those owners, and they seem to appreciate it.
Yeah, what's the best thing somebody said to you? What did an owner say?
You are great. Nobody said that.
That's such a cool thing to do for your owners. I'm so impressed so many showed up at Thanksgiving.
It was good. We had about 100 people here and a lot of hungry people. So that's always good, and good to see those good owners every year. And like I said in the podcast, we have several people who said they planned their stay around the owner party. So that makes us all feel really good because we put a lot of effort into it, particularly my assistant, Nicole, who did a great job on it. So now also, as we move into this episode, and you've probably already read, this is talking about 4 steps of how to wow. As we're here between the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas, I have this deep-seated question. Where in the world is Matt Landau? Do you remember that with Matt Lauer on the Today Show where they would go a week at a time and he'd be all over the world? That's what I feel about our friend Matt Landau. Every time I open my email, the guy's somewhere else with his new TV show.
And all we're getting to do is just do our podcast in our house here and keep running our company. So, Matt, we're jealous. How'd you get the gig you got?
Yeah, he's been in Rome. He was in Kauai. He's been in the Smoky Mountains. Got another one coming up soon. But, Matt, you are the inspiration of this particular episode, because we hear all the time about how Airbnb, you need to make it local and personal. And Matt talks about, well, when he's in Kauai, he had the fresh juice waiting for him there and how special it was that the use of vacation rentals now is kind of the new luxury. And we need to, as vacation rental managers, need to surprise and delight guests every opportunity they get. I think guests are almost expecting it now. And so how do you do this? How do you do this consistently when you have a company of 50, 100, or even 1,000 properties in your program? So we're going to take a deep dive into some of the areas that you may be able to have tangible ways to make the wow a reality at your company.
Great. And so I'm going to start us off with the definition of a wow, because I think when we say that funny word, that word you can say backwards and forwards. What's that called, Tim? When you can say a word backwards and forwards. I don't know. Listeners, write in. A wow really is something that makes a guest feel special. It needs to be personal and authentic, and it needs to show the effort of going above and beyond. So all those things, everybody says it all the time, and we want to talk about how to do it. It can't be expected. It can't be done the same for every guest. It's not something that every time I go to Steamboat Lodging Company, they always do X, Y, or Z. It has to be something unique to that person as a true wow. So this can be in many forms. I mean, a wow doesn't have to cost a lot of money. That's what I like to say a lot. And John DeJulius, one of my heroes, says that. Try to figure out free ways to make people feel special. So you might verbally acknowledge a special event going on in their life, a note with their name. Then you can also go to bigger wows, like a special gift or a special treat. And we're going to talk about how to make that happen in your company in a repeatable way, but also a unique way. So, Tim, what do you have to do first?
Figure out what it is that is the thing that you can do backwards and forwards. And I think I remember it. It's a palindrome. Is that it?
Palindrome. Yes. Okay,
good.
You must have gone to Carolina.
No, I went to Google. So, you know me. If it can't be measured, it can't be managed. So the first thing you have to do is have a process. And to me, that means a budget. You need to put some money aside. Make sure that you know, things just don't happen out of thin air. You just don't know that it's a guest's birthday or whatever, and you need to deliver balloons on their arrival. You need to process this and about how many items are going to happen in the course of a year, and what's it going to cost? Use a broad guideline like $10,000 per 100 properties you manage. I mean, there's a wild figure, but at least it's a start. And put it down on paper, and then people can start believing in the fact that there is a process, and we have this much to work with. What do? It all starts with money and a budget, as usual with me.
I do too. You know, Tim, once we created a budget for the wow, then we actually started creating them, listening more for them. My staff was way more empowered to do them versus, hey, Sarah, is it okay if we buy this guy a t-shirt? Or, hey, Sarah, is it all right if we get flowers for this person? And it felt like an extra expense that we hadn't budgeted for. If you put, let's say, whatever figure it is, but 10 grand away for every 10 or 100 properties, then your staff is almost incentivized to spend that. And you should encourage them to spend it because it's hard to get customers these days. I mean, if you get a guest, you want them to come back over and over, right? And so why not spend money on them versus, what is that, better to spend money on the bird in the hand than two in the bush? Mm-hmm. I just changed that around. But
it works. We're with you.
Yeah. So I just think it's so important that you figure out how to make your guests feel special. So let's go on to the next part. So number one is to create a budget. Now, once you have a budget, you need to create a process because you can have $10,000 sitting there. And if your staff doesn't know how to spend that or how to make it happen, it's just going to sit there. And you want to spread that money in a way that has the most impact. So the first step of your process needs to be teaching everybody how to listen. Can you hear me, Tim? Are you listening?
I am listening, yes.
Okay.
So
you're a man. So
did you mean listening to you or listening to the guests? That's what I think you mean, that they need to be in tune to what's going on and pick up on things when they have the opportunity, right?
Absolutely. So this starts with the reservation team, and it can also be your guest experience team before the guest gets there. The reservation team is just focused on, all right, let's find their dates, let's find the property, let's get them booked, more of a transactional situation versus consultative. Then you're going to miss the wow. And what I mean is that your res staff, whether you call them vacation planners as we do, I think you do as well, Tim, they need to be stopping typing, stop searching for properties, and talk to the guest about why they're coming to the destination where you are. Talk a little bit about their family, their friends, what they're concerned about, what they're celebrating, what they're excited about, whatever it might be. That's how, when you get people to talk, then you take notes. And you have to role play with your team on this. I think it's so important to truly take time to teach them how to listen. Sometimes we do a activity where we go through lots of facts and then see if the res agent can remember that special thing. We call it the remarkable thing, Tim will talk about, that the guest shared. And then they have to be able to record that in some way. So let's go to that step, Tim.
I was listening in awe, but at the same time, I'm tuned into this and, again, try to put things in a place where they're not going to be forgotten or there's a process indeed that happens. So we have a recording system. Our calls are recorded and graded by our reservations manager. Her name's Sarah as well. She's an all-star. She does a great job of having weekly meetings with the staff. And she has 9 non-negotiables is what she calls them. And one of them is connecting with the guest. And you do ask questions. Is this your first time? what did you like about this property? Are you celebrating something special? There's things you can actually work into the, quote, script when you have the opportunity to talk to somebody that can make that easier. So when you hear that, it then needs to be recorded. Not on a tape, but somewhere you write it down so it can be passed along to the implementers of the WOW, whether that is your reservation sales team or vacation specialists or whatever you call them, or maybe it goes to your marketing folks as it does in my particular office, but you set up a way to capture notes that you can be sure can be seen 6 months from now when the guest arrives. And so whether it's the note section of a reservation, the software system, there's ways you can set up flags. I think you do that, Sarah. We have actually a CRM system, I think they call it. That's where we put the notes, and that can be scoured for every week. And so I know there's a firm, talking about our friend Matt Landau on his first little TV show, they have on Mondays their WOW meetings where they talk about everybody that's arriving this week, and they look at their notes to find out what special occasions are in place and what's going on with this particular guest. So you need to be able to not just ask the question, but make sure you record the answer.
I would just encourage you to listen to calls. When you hear the guest speaking on the other side, if the right questions are asked, the WOW comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember when my parents, they've been married over 60 years now, but when they hit their 50th year, or maybe 55, anyway, I called the Broadmoor in Colorado, and I made them a reservation, and I said that it's their 60th anniversary. Mm-hmm. I said that. And I'll never forget, the lady was like, uh-huh, and what's the check-in date?
There's some situational sensitivity.
So first of all, I was just offended she didn't even get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my parents got there, this is the Broadmoor. I mean, you guys, yeah, if you've been to Colorado, it's a fancy place. They should have that together. So you can be better than the Broadmoor on this. They did treat my parents well, but they didn't have anything in the notes saying it was their special wedding anniversary. And how many people make it to 60 years? So I don't know. I think it's so important to ask the question. So now the guest is about to arrive. And like Tim said, with the WOW meetings that Matt Landau spoke about, it's so important, again, that you have a way to execute these notes. So you can't just look and go, oh, man, it's their anniversary, but what are we going to do about it? Oh, we forgot. Oh, well, they left. So whatever your process is, get it repeatable and make sure it's happening. What we do at our company now is we have a weekly review of what's coming up that week, just like Tim was saying, and we look at the notes and all the flags, and it says all the reservations where we have a WOW opportunity, and our guest experience team then creates a task for whoever's delivering that WOW to the property, if it is not just a free WOW, if it's not just saying, you know, happy anniversary, which you should definitely say when they check in. And so then our inspection teams are usually the folks who are delivering. If it's a physical WOW they're taking, we also email the inspection team the night before saying the WOWs are ready in the office to be picked up. We're going to talk more about examples of what we give and how we put that together, but just the process of reviewing what's coming up the next week, making sure the team that's delivering is taking it, and also, of course, making sure the team that's creating the WOWs have created them. You have to do that every single week or you will stop making WOWs, I promise you. You'll get busy, you'll say, oh, we don't have time today to deal with those anniversaries. But this is what makes people come back to see you.
That is gold. That's a pullover moment, folks. Write it down. Excellent. That's kind of the preliminary, but then they arrive. You also need a process for in-house WOW moments. I got a question for you, Sarah. Do you know the motto of Ritz-Carlton?
I don't.
It is ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I have heard that.
Yes. And so I bring that up because Ritz-Carlton probably does the best at this in my experience of traveling. There are some good copies out there now. JW Marriott does a nice job. There's several others who have really emphasized this, empowering people to whatever degree to make sure when you get that opportunity, you seize it. I use the example of Jim, our maintenance guy, who didn't have to check about replacing a blender or whatever. You know, he was empowered to go and do that. And your team may not have heard anything special beforehand, but they're in touch with the guest right now. So maybe they're empowered to go buy a bottle of wine and a card that says something like, "We hope your hot tub is working better," or something. I don't know. You have a process of creating the opportunities for your people to listen and then empowering them to act upon that when they're in the field. I just think that would be fabulous if we could do that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and it's another reminder of talking with the maintenance crew, the property care team, about letting them know they have a budget for this. At our end of season meeting last year, I was overwhelmed with Mike and Adam and others in our team who were sharing some really neat wows they did just because they were at the property, heard the need, and did that for the guest. I didn't even know they did it. So that can go a long way. And, you know, another thing I wanted to say about the in-house wow, Tim, It doesn't have to be we messed up, so here's here's your gift. It can be that Adam's at a property and he hears that they forgot to get the cream or something, or they need some ice cream, or I don't know why I'm on the ice cream kick, but then he maybe runs and gets that for them. Or it's just this extra favor, like you said, that Jim, your guy, does. That can go a long way, too. It's not just saying you're sorry.
Well, we're going to do examples later, but I better tell you this now while I'm thinking of it. Again, I think it was Jason and not Jim, but he was at a house fixing a commode, and there was a birthday party going on in the house. We have a water park that opened here this past summer, and it's become quite the attraction. It's thousands of people have gone there over the course of the summer, but it was a new novelty thing this year. Well, Jason had passes in the car for the water park. So he came back in and said, "By the way, here's my birthday present for you." And he gave him two passes to the water park. Wow.
That's wow. Backwards. Wow.
So what's next?
The next type of wow. So now you've got your budget. You got your process. You worked on pre-arrival wows. You got current guest wows. You also need to think about post-stay wows. So they've already left. Couple ways you can do post-stay wows. One, if you do get a negative review, instead of just writing back so that everybody sees online that you responded that the beds will be fixed someday, I absolutely think you should call on every negative review. Call the guest, talk to them about it. That can just be a wow in of itself. You also could go beyond that. For example, Amy in our office, the oven did not work at one of the, didn't get very hot apparently, and we didn't find out until we saw the review after the guests left. And so Amy researched the best like hip pizza joint in the little Texas town where the guest was from and got a gift card to that pizza place and then had it sent to Colorado, and then she sent it with a personal card to that guest. Do you think that guest is going to come back?
No. Of course she is. And no, I know what agency she's running from, too.
Yeah, that's very cool. So you can definitely turn bad reviews into wows. And, you know, this just happened to me. I was just in the wine country, and we had a poor experience driving into one of our favorite places we usually go. And the police lady outside kind of said, "Park over here," and there were too many cars, and we just got out of there. So I sent a review, not a review even, I just sent an email to them later and said, you know, we didn't even visit because it was such a negative experience driving up. And they could have really turned that around for me. How many times have you commented maybe a negative experience to a store or a company and how much they could turn it around? Instead, they wrote, "Yeah, we'll tell our manager. We've really had a big crowd lately and we're just figuring out how to deal with it." I'm a wine club member at that place. They could just sent me a bottle of wine or said, "Gosh, next time, please talk to so-and-so. We'd love to have you back," or something besides, "I'm going to tell my manager." It just made almost a bad experience worse. But besides a bad review and doing a post-day wow to turn around a bad review, I also think a guest might have had a perfectly fine experience, but maybe the child left the stuffed animal. I think many of you have heard of this one before. Instead of just returning the stuffed animal that the child is so sad not to be with, put a note with it that says what the stuffed animal did while they were in Winter Park or Steamboat or Outer Banks or wherever you are while they were away from the child, and maybe take a picture of the stuffed animal on the slopes or something so cute, because parents love that stuff as well as the kids.
What you said, though, a moment ago, I want to go back to real quickly before we get on some other examples and kind of wrap this whole thing up, is, you know, what you're really talking about is a culture. And so many places and so many people you come in contact with are like that person you were talking about. Oh, I'll tell the manager. You know, there are so many people that just don't care. And that can't be how we do business. It goes back to the whole culture thing. And I know we're going to do a podcast soon on hiring. That process just can't be underestimated. We have a 6-part process here. I know there's a lot of people that do it really well that listen out there. You've got to have people who are of like mind to give service. Ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. You don't have that mentality going in, you're not going to be a good fit. So that's where it starts and ends for me.
I agree. I have such a good team, and I always wonder, how did I get them? So you might have to tell me this exact process. But I think it's because I have hired incredible people with a service attitude. It also comes from the top of empowering them and encouraging and celebrating those moments, right? That they get acknowledgement and recognition when they go above and beyond.
So do we have some examples?
Yeah. Do you want me to start?
I have one.
Okay,
good. Thanksgiving, I have to share. This didn't happen this Thanksgiving, but I will tell you it happened last year, and I didn't think anything about it at the time, but it's become a urban legend around the building here. I was on emergency phone duty, and we had a house about a mile from my property that had stove problems on Thanksgiving Day. And the lady called, and she was distressed, and she had 19 people in the vacation rental, and she was cooking Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, no.
There is no way I'm getting an appliance repairman to her house on Thanksgiving dinner. So what do you think I did?
You made her a turkey?
No, I went and got her stuff, and I took it to my house, and I cooked it, and I brought it back ready to go.
You did? You did the wow.
It's culture, baby. You got to start at the top.
Did she like how you cooked it, or did she not?
She did give me some tips on the recipes, and there were a couple of burners that worked, so she still did like the gravy and the mashed potatoes, but I finished off the turkey. I did the tarragon carrots or whatever it was that she had. But again, you know, whatever it takes. And she's come back every year since.
Wow. Look, it's
there's
wow.
One. Hey, good. Give me one from you.
All right. I have two lately. Let's see. Two that I asked my crew to send me some recent ones. Peggy in Steamboat, the guest said, oh, yeah, we're coming. We're looking for a second home. And so we're going to be staying with you guys, but we're going to be going around with the realtor. Now, if you hear that, you just might be thinking, oh, whatever, right? How do you wow on that? Well, Peggy, being who she is, she researched, printed off a 1-page hint list on things to look for when buying a second home, put it on a clipboard with a notepad, and had a pen for the guest to make notes during the search. And she had that waiting for them. I just thought that was so cool. And it was like, what, $5? It didn't cost that much. It was more the thought. And they just loved it. Another one was a guest said they were having professional photos taken at the property, at the big home they were renting from us in Winter Park. Again, you might be like, oh, that's cool. Great. How do I wow on that? Well, our crew over there in Winter Park, they said, oh, wouldn't it be fun if they had props to use in the photos? So they got a bunch of fun props, you know, almost like a photo booth. Those fun hats and scarves and glasses and things, and put it all over there so they could have really fun professional photos taken of their family. I just thought those were so unique.
They really are. That's good.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I would say that it doesn't have to be that creative every time. It really does matter that my parents were celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. And that might seem like, oh, yeah, it's a wedding anniversary. Have a basket there. Say happy 60th. Put lots of fun items in it that are unique, maybe about Winter Park, things to eat, things. Try to think of putting items in gift baskets, you know, if we're talking about that subject, that have to do with vacation. So think about how they might want to play cards. We like to use our Ski WP logo on playing cards, or water bottles, because you know they're going to be drinking water, or bubbles for the kids, or fidget spinners. When they came out, we got a bunch of those for people. Think about what they want to do when they're there in the home. Don't just get them a bunch of things they can't get back in their suitcase.
Well, you know, for us, we don't call it the wow. We call it remarkable marketing. because, again, back to the lost and found thing, I am a firm believer in what you said there, that that's a great opportunity to market for the future. So not only is the letter in there and maybe a handwritten note about what the stuffed animal did, but we put lots of pens and logoed stuff in there so they remember us. It is truly a marketing opportunity. I remember years ago, we used to send stuff back COD. Are you sure you want this? Because it's going to be $10 plus COD. And I just put my foot down and said, you know what? We are never going to go broke sending back important items to people. And so that is kind of teed up the whole remarkable marketing thing. That's sort of a remarkable twist to how you handle lost and found. And as you said, it's more of a standard now. And so what is it, whether it's balloons for the birthday or as simple as it's the first visit to the beach for a small child? And one of my marketing people, Sierra, who you met, loves to go shopping at the dollar store for a pail and shovels and things like that, and put a little card on there with the young boy's name on it. You can't do the cookie cutter. You really have to use your imagination and have somebody who has a great imagination on staff.
Yes, it is important to hire someone that loves Pinterest. If they love Pinterest, that's a good interview question for this role. And also, you know, Tim, when you do something for the children or you do something for the pet, we make sure we put the pet's name on their little treat. But when you do something for the kids or the pet, the parents dig it big. So if my kids walk into a property and they're excited about whatever's given to them, I could care less if there's anything there for me.
You know, that first time you walk in the property, you can't ever recapture that. So if you've got a wow, guess where it's going? Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all those places. You get immediate marketing.
Yep. And I'm so impressed you send everything back for free. I'm going to have to go back to the team and see if we should start doing that. We don't. We do charge the guests. So what do you guys think about that out there in podcast land? That's impressive, Tim. I do want to bring up something about logo gear. Tim and I might have different opinions on this. Can you imagine you and I disagreeing on something?
Never.
But I listened to this other podcast last year that Rachel in my office sent to me, and it was a long podcast about when you put your logo on something as a gift, you're really giving a gift that promotes you instead of giving a true gift. So that's how we kind of came up with this Ski WP logo. It says nothing about Winter Park Lodging Company. And then we made Ski the Boat, which is for Steamboat, but it doesn't say Steamboat Lodging Company. It's just a unique, fun thing about the area. And we put that, if we put anything on a item, we put that on it. So what do you think, Tim?
You're definitely successful on it. I've not gone there. We don't have any special gear that we've created without our logo on it. But I see it, and I wear my Ski WP hat. Let's just say that. Mine wasn't free, though, by the way. I had to buy it.
You didn't? Oh, right, at the auction.
Bought it at a charity auction for $50. So I'm wearing that thing, by God. Anyway, and there's other little things here as well. Wows to me, I love to hear my name. No, so when you're dealing with guests in whatever environment, whether you be on property after the fact or before they come, if you use their name and you know you have some sort of a system where you know what their preferences are or whatever, that's a wow to me. Forgive me, when I check into the hotel, I like the fact that they offer me a bottle of water because I'm a silver medallion level at Hilton or whatever, and they know I want a down pillow and I want to be on, you know, a high floor. Those things are wows to me and make me feel special, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, when my buddy John DeJulius loves to say, what's the sweetest word in the English language?
Your name.
Your name. Yep. When someone says, thank you, Sarah, it just sounds different than thank you. So let's finish up then on ways to wow that are not necessarily completely unique for a guest, but they're repeatable and something you should work on figuring out what are your repeatable wows you do for every guest. And those could be things like Tim's talking about. We do a handwritten note for every guest that arrives. It says, welcome, Bradford family. That looks a lot different than welcome or even nothing. So having their name on a welcome gift is pretty impressive. Other things, Tim, like supplying extra towels, kind of anticipating what they're going to need in the property. In your world, probably beach chairs. What other things do you do that just gives them that wow when they arrive.
Well, again, this past week was Thanksgiving. We had the little aluminum tin cooking things in the houses because not every house has a turkey cooker. So went to the dollar store and bought 150 of these little cooking tins, and they were sitting there waiting for them. Not a big thing, but one less thing they have to go worry about.
Absolutely. And think, like, you just, that's such a great idea, the tin things you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We had a restaurant in Winter Park who was making homemade pies. We didn't even buy the pies for every guest. We just told all guests, if you want pies, we'll deliver them to you, and they're $20. And we sold 21 pies. Yeah, we delivered them for free. But think about the time of year and what might be anticipated there. For Christmas, we have encouraged all of our owners to get Christmas trees, and we help them get them, set them up, and store them. Because, again, you walk into a rental, it's Christmas Eve, you're not necessarily going to expect a decorated Christmas tree, and then there's one there, and that's a palindrome.
There you go. Wow. You do one other thing, too, that you mentioned in a previous podcast, turning the light on. It's a little thing, but I've never been to this place before. I'm getting there at 10:30 at night. Wow, they remembered I was coming late. The porch light's on. That's so cool. All right, we better wrap this up because we have a great, not so hot off the press, but definitely happening. We talked about our friend Matt Landau at the beginning of the episode, and he was just named one of the most influential people in vacation rentals. They missed two people on that list, though. I'm not sure how we missed that list, but I think number two or three on that list was Amy Highnote, and Amy is doing fantastic work for this industry. She has really done a great job providing newsy information to all of us through her company, VRM Intel, and she just recently had a conference in conjunction with the Vacation Rental Housekeeping Professionals in Gatlinburg, and I was able to catch up with her for a few minutes.
I've had a passion for this industry since I was 6 years old, starting to go to vacation in Fort Morgan. It's just something that has made a huge difference in my life. Vacations are important, which is why the Power of the Vacation book came out, just trying to put together some travel quotes and some inspiration for this industry. But honestly, I love it. I can't imagine what else I would be doing. But to be fair, I wasn't really a good property manager. So I was like, how do I stay in this industry and stay relevant? I'm like, well, maybe I'll just watch it and write about it and read about it and learn about it. And so that's how VRM Intel was born.
And for me, you are almost like an Associated Press article. How do you keep on top of all this
stuff? It used to be that I read a lot. Okay. I just, you know, would just Google everything, and I had Google alerts for anything that could possibly be going on in the industry. But as the site grew and starting to put the magazine out, now I get a lot of emails and phone calls the minute things happen. So the minute, for instance, a change is made at an OTA or a property manager is not paying their homeowners or something like that, those are the kind of calls and emails I get on a regular basis. And so it's good to be in the know. People do like to expose things, you know, to the industry. So it's been interesting to see that evolution and now start to get some of that information in my inbox instead of having to go search for it all the time. But yeah, well, I'm up to 1,000 original articles on the site this month.
That's crazy.
Isn't it?
Great job. So speaking of great job, we're speaking at the VRM Intel /VRHP conference in Gatlinburg. What a great idea to combine forces, and it looks like it went pretty well.
Yeah, I think it went really well. I don't know what the final count was. I haven't heard. I don't know if you have.
But it was over 300. I know that.
I don't know.
Great.
I'm a big believer in what the housekeeping departments mean to this industry. We watch it. Half of the regulations are because of poor housekeeping. And I think a lot of the dangers in this company are about newcomers to the space who don't understand housekeeping. So I really wanted to do anything that I could to promote this association, to try to get more people involved in it, more people that know about it, more people, you know, coming to a show about housekeeping and operations. I think we were talking earlier on a panel that marketing is the hot thing right now. Everybody wants to be a marketer. Nobody wants to be a property manager, you know, a property services company. And this isn't the sexy work, but it is certainly the important work. And I think that from VRM Intel's perspective, we just wanted to really do anything that we could to make sure that these people are engaged and, you know, working together to build, you know, housekeeping standards.
Mm-hmm. What's the future now?
Well, we launched the VRM Intel dashboard, which has been a, you know, it's been a project. This has been a labor of love for years. You and I have talked about this for quite a bit. I think we all know that we need independent data in this space. It's how to do it and who to trust with it. I think it's really something that we all have to think through. And, you know, who's going to be the best person to provide that data? we feel like that, or I feel like, that VRM Intel is the right independent source for that, mainly because I have such a healthy respect for data privacy and really understanding how the level of kind of anonymized data that you would have to aggregate data in an effective way, and also just the monetization of it down the road and doing that in a responsible way as far as giving CVBs data or state tourism departments, things like that. But the data piece is a big part. We're also launching a PR campaign in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And the PR campaign is designed to educate the media on two things, on a lot of this new stupid investment money that's coming into the space, and it's stupid. They don't know the space. They don't know the industry. They know one word in this industry, it's Airbnb. And every pitch deck says, we're going to be the Airbnb of blank, 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 mm-hmm. you know, and it's they're not getting the right information, and I think that's important on the company side, on the corporate side, but I also think guest education right now is critical. And we just don't have that. It's not a big initiative for any of the existing associations to date to really get in front of travel writers and the consumer media to explain that if you book on Airbnb or you book on HomeAway that you have to pay a fee. It's not like Expedia or Priceline where you may get a cheaper price there. You'll never get a cheaper price there. And I don't think guests know that yet.
Mm-hmm. But you promise to still do seminars. And you're still going to get us articles. You still do the magazine.
Right? That's the plan right now. No, it's starting to die a little bit. Okay. But we are doing a women's summit coming up, which you're totally welcome to come to.
Okay, thank you.
But it's in New Orleans, February 21st and 22nd. Okay. So I'm pretty pumped about that. It's the first time we've gotten that kind of conversation going, and I think it will be interesting.
Okay, so that's Amy's thoughts on where we are and where we're headed in the vacation rental business. So hope everybody enjoyed that. So the four steps of how to wow. Number one was get the process in order. Get a budget.
Number two is then to create a process. Remember to listen for that remarkable something. Record that remarkable something in a place that will be found again and create repeatable and consistent ways to execute your wows. And then always remember to have inventory on hand to assemble any gifts you're making.
Number three is similar, but we're going to break it off into a category of its own, and that's in-house opportunities, making sure you don't overlook the opportunity to wow people on the fly.
And number four, the post-stay wow. Do you call when you get a bad review? Do you sometimes even send the guest a little treat to say you're sorry, to make up for that problem they might have had when they were staying with you?
Okay, four steps of how to wow. We hope you took something away from this. I hope you have as much fun as I did, because this is a blast for me. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Tim.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, seatoskiwithsarahandt.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sea to Ski with Sarah and T.